We are going through the first John, so we are going to continue where we start, and we'll be going through verse 22 and 23 today. And verse 22 says, "Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist, who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also." We need to understand the time where John was writing this. There was a heretical teaching that was going on, and that was called Docetism. That is D-O-C-E-T-I-S-M. It's an heretical teaching, and this teaching was circulating in the church during that time, and they separated Christ from the Christ, the Savior, from the humanity of Christ. Jesus was God, but Jesus appeared as a man. They believed that Jesus is the Father, God, who just appeared as a man. But when he went to the cross, he never felt the pain. He didn't truly suffer as a man, because God is perfect. And that's the teaching that was going on. Of course, you will understand at the same time, there's all kinds of teaching, Gnosticism and different kinds of teachings were going on, but this was one of the teachings that was going on at that time too. But I would like to take this portion of scripture that will really, this is the kind of teaching that was going on. That's where John is defending this. On this side, who is a liar that who denies that Jesus is the Christ? Okay, and we will be getting into Docetism later on as we go in the book of John. I would give a whole chapter on that one. But here, this portion of scripture, I want to show you that there are so many people that is going to be relevant for us today, that there are so many people who would believe in Christ. They say they believe in Christ, but in reality, they deny Christ. So they are liars. And if we see in the context of the Bible, who are the liars? 1 John chapter 1 verse 6 says, 1 John 1:6, a liar. That is, if we say that we are having fellowship with God through Christ Jesus, but still we are dark in the darkness, practicing our old nature, having no effort at all, you are not truly regenerated anyway, and you are lying, saying you are a Christian. And also, 1 John chapter 1 verse 10. Who loves his brother... 1 John 1:10. I'm looking somewhere different here. Okay. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Again, when we say, we need to realize how prone, how weak, how sinful, how depraved we are, and we were lost creatures, totally in the darkness, and it's only by God's grace that we are here today. So if we say that I'm good, I'm pretty good, I have not sinned, then you don't need a full Savior. So you're a liar. Also, 1 John chapter 2 verse 4, 1 John 2:4, he who says I know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Jesus said, if you love me, you will follow my teachings. I need to keep the commandments of God. We need to trust in the word of God. And if you don't do that, then we are a liar. As I said today, there are so many believers, so many who believe in Christ. But when it comes to the very heart of the matter, when it comes to the essence, the most important things, they deny Christ. The denial of Christ has to do with the gospel. It has to do with the gospel. Because the Father has offered us Christ in the gospel. In the gospel, you find Christ. And without the gospel, there is no Christ. So we see Christ in the gospel. He is the Holy One of God. And He is God incarnate in human flesh. He is the tabernacle who lived among men. And He fulfilled the law of God. And we can see on His death that His righteousness. What is the good news? That on the death, on the cross, when He suffered, when He was nailed to the cross, what happened to the believing sinner? That His righteousness was imputed to the believing sinner. That's good news. And on the other hand, the false teachers, they believe in Jesus but deny who Jesus is, and also they deny the ministry of Jesus. Go a little bit towards history. I don't want to go too far in this. You know, we have heard Arius. Arius, who was in the church, he robbed the deity of Christ or the divinity of Christ. He believed that Jesus is not God who came in flesh. And the same way today we have the Jehovah's Witnesses. Same sort of beliefs. We have the Mormons and many others who deny that Jesus is not God. They don't believe that Jesus. They believe that they don't believe that Jesus is God. They believe that Jesus is not God and who came in the flesh. They are liars. Then in the 3rd century we see Sabellian heresy that identified the Son and the Father are one person, only differing in name. They denied the Trinity. Sabellian denied the Son of God. We see the same heresy today in the United Pentecostal Church. The oneness movement, the Jesus only type people. And we see Pelagius, who believed in the essence of Christ, but reduced Christ to nothing when His grace and power was set aside. We see the Roman Catholic Church, who believed in the deity of Christ, and that He is the Son of God, but denying it is not grace alone, but the righteousness, the merits of works are necessary for salvation. It is not the imputed righteousness of Christ. Not Christ alone that saved, but the traditions of men, the traditions of the church and merits and works are necessary for salvation. So we don't see the fullness of Christ in salvation here. Now, here we see John, 1 John chapter 2 verse 22, it says here, he who is a liar who denies that Jesus is Christ, he is an antichrist. They are antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. So here we see these people are called antichrist. But it also it says whoever denies the Father denies the Son does not have the Father either. Whoever acknowledges the Son has Father also. The word acknowledge there is to agree or to confess or to declare. The word acknowledge means. But here we see these people, they're coming, and this antichrist means it's a substitution. The word antichrist means not only against Christ, but a substitution. And if you see, whoever denies the true essence of Christ, His work on the cross, that we are saved by whoever who denies that, they are antichrist. Antichrist, as I said, is a substitution. But if you see all the other religions, all the other false religions, they are substitution for Christianity. every religion is a substitution for Christianity. And if you see the Hinduism, the Islam, Buddhism, Roman Catholicism, Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormonism, Christian Science, Mary Baker Eddy, Jim Jones, Sun Young Moon, and you know, you call everybody, and many other false religions are there, and they are substitution for Christianity. They're antichrist. Now, who is the author of all the religions? Satan is the author of all the religions. Now, what is his objective? His objective is to counterfeit Christianity. So when you look at all the other religions, the Buddhism, Hinduism, they have some very good moral values. But Jesus is out. And that's a substitution. It deceives people. And so the work of Christ is taken out and replaced by humanity. That means man is the center. And so the true essence is, true essence of Christ is taken out. Whoever who denies the Son denies the Father, and the truth is not in him. You know, whoever who honors the Son, there's a scripture that says, whoever who honors the Son honors the Father, right? If you turn with me to John chapter 5, verse 23, let's start from verse 22. For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son, that all should honor the Son, just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. So if somebody says, well, I honor the Father, but not the Son, a scripture is telling you're a liar. You're not in the truth. Because if you honor the Father, you need to honor the Son. That's what happened to the Jews, right? At that time, it's the same thing with the Jehovah's Witnesses today. So, why is it that we need to honor the Father? If you really honor the Father, it's the same as honoring the Son. As you honor the Son, then we are honoring the Father. Why is it that the Son is so important? Why is it that the Son is so important? Because we are saved in Christ. Salvation is of Christ. Why else? We have access to the Father in Christ. And we pray to the Father in Christ. We worship in Christ. We witness in Christ. We fellowship in Christ. Everything is in Christ. So you deny Christ, you deny the Father. Basically, that's it. Simple as that. The thing is, why, if you go a little bit deeper, there's a relationship between the Father and the Son. In the same way, there's a relationship with God's people to the Father. Okay? It's a relationship between Father and the Son. There's a relationship between God's people and the Father. This relationship is through the Son. So if you believe in the Father, but not in the true essence of the Son, you're a liar. And you do not have a relationship with the Father then. Let me explain a little bit more. The name of the Son, the name of Son in the Old Testament was the Messiah, right? Or the Anointed One. Now this was the designation of Christ. He relates which, when you say the Messiah or the Anointed One, it relates to what? To the scriptures of the Old Testament. When you say Messiah, it relates to the scripture of the Old Testament. So when it relates to the scriptures of the Old Testament, the word Messiah or Christ, or the anointed one, that means the Old Testament people were looking forward to this Messiah who was going to come and save them. His salvation is found in Messiah. So he is the center of the Old Testament. Now, if you take him out, you take the Father away, because your relationship between God's people and God, and that relationship is through the Messiah. Alright, let's go to Luke chapter 24. Luke 24, chapter 24, verse 44. Then he said to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which are written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms," that is containing the entire Old Testament, "concerning me." He is pointing that the entire Old Testament is focused on the person of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Then, verse 45, "And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures." So here, the only way you can open is take a can opener and open your mind. Only God can do that. Okay? Because your mind is closed. Then he said to them, verse 46, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and rise from the dead, and the third day, and the repentance of remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." And you are witnesses of this. "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from high." So here we see how Christ opened their minds so they will be able to understand, comprehend. Also, Luke 24:27. Remember the two people who were walking in the Emmaus road, and suddenly Jesus appeared to them, and they were so downcast. And then Jesus said to them in verse 25. He said to them, "O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all the prophets have spoken." All the prophets have spoken. Every prophet. Verse 26. "Ought not the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory?" And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning who? Himself. Yeah, you deny Christ, you deny the Father, because everything is in Christ. So when we see Christ is the center in the Old Testament, and he is the center in the New Testament for us. Therefore, the relationship to God the Father is through Christ. So if you deny the Son, then you deny the Father. Christ is God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten one, not made, one of substance with the Father. He is a God-man, possessing all the essential qualities of both the human and the divine nature. He has both divine and human consciousness, as well as human and a divine will. So this is a mystery, you know, how can he be both divine and human, which we cannot fathom, which we cannot understand. This is a great mystery of godliness. God manifested in the flesh. Paul talks on 1 Timothy 3:16. Great mystery. 1 Timothy 3:16. Maybe it's manifested in the flesh. Here it is, starting from verse 16. "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in glory. Now, to deny Christ is to deny his ministry, the works of Christ. And to deny, when you deny the works of his ministry or his works, is to deny Christ. It goes both ways. Now, let me explain a little bit on that issue now. We will not know the will of God if not for Christ. Christ revealed to the church how he exposed the will of God to the church. He revealed the will of God to the church. John chapter 1 verse 18. Jesus said here, "No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father has declared him." Jesus is the one who has declared the Father to the church. Jonathan Edwards goes on to say, even in the Old Testament, we see at the very beginning, we need to see that we are enmity with God. Alright? So there's no way that we can comprehend God, understand God, but it is the second person, the Trinity, the mediator, even in the Old Testament, who appeared to Abraham, who talked to people. It's always Christ. He's the one who revealed the will of God to the church. So when Jesus appeared in the New Testament, this is what he said in John chapter 5 verse 30. John chapter 5 30. Jesus said, "I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me." And here, it's only through Jesus we know the will of the Father. And of course we know in the book of Hebrews and in the book of Psalms, we see Jesus said, "Lo, I come to do thy will." Okay, so, and also, the only way that, why is it so important that we need to believe in Christ is, the Old Testament, always their sins were forgiven by a sacrifice of a lamb, a goat. And here, Christ was the fulfillment of that sacrifice, and Christ is the perfect sacrifice. He executed sins for his people once and for all, and also as a high priest, the priest's job is what? Not only he come in behalf of the people with a lamb, but Christ himself was the priest who was sacrificed on the altar, but also Christ intercedes for his people continually. So when you deny Christ, you are denying that sacrifice that is needed for salvation. When you deny that sacrifice, you're denying Christ. When you say, no, we got to do more sacrifices, then what you're saying is, sacrifice of Christ is not sufficient. That means is Christ didn't do a good job. It's not complete. That's blasphemy from what Jesus did on the cross. And this is where Roman Catholics and all the other religions who comes as substitution, Satan's religions, okay? They say, you got to do this. Look at all the other religions that they have a bunch of rules and regulations that you got to do. Look at the Hindus. What's wrong with them if you look at them? They look pretty holy. They look, wear holy clothes and they go to their temple and they worship their God. I mean, a general person who is not a Christian, who is a nominal Christian, or who is a person who have heard the Bible a little bit, they will come and say, well, those people are real religious people. They are nice people. So what does it matter to become a Hindu or a Buddhist? They are nice people too, Buddhists, you know. They have their shrines and so forth like that. You got to do this, that. You have to offer these things to the Buddhist monks and, you know, you got to go according to their books. So who cares? And you get the Muslims. Huh? Look at them. They pray three times a day. So, I mean, there are so many paths to God. So they all look good. Look at the Roman Catholics. They look religious people. They offer, you know, go to Mass and, you know, they do all kinds of rituals and everything. So what's wrong with it? So a person who is not a grown Christian cannot understand, because Satan is a deceiver. He can deceive pretty good. Because it's a substitution. It is of Antichrist. It is not the true one. It is an Antichrist. He comes and shows another way. Satan's goal is what? To deceive as many as possible. So he brings all these substitutions to the world. And he offers these substitutions, very religious substitutions. But they deny the only true religion, that is of Christ, is taken away. But Christ is the only sacrifice. All the other religions, they have all kinds of sacrifices. They do sacrifices. But Apostle John said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the people." All the other religions, their sins cannot be taken out. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 27, verse 26. "For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy," that is Christ, "harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens, who does not need daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For he did once for all when he offered up himself." And see verse chapter Hebrews 10:12. "Man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God." So you don't need any more sacrifices. Only one sacrifice. And here, usually in the Old Testament, there's a sacrifice where a priest has to go and ask for his forgiveness, one sacrifice for that, and another sacrifice for the people. Christ, who was sinless, he doesn't need a sacrifice. He was holy, separated from sinners. He himself was not only he was the victim also. He was not only the priest, but also he was the victim. Now, that is why the name of Jesus is above every other name. So if you deny Christ, you deny the Father, because the name of Jesus is above every other name. Peter said in Acts 4:12, "There is neither salvation in any other name, for there is no other name that men under heaven can be saved." Acts 4:12. And Paul said, Philippians 2:10, "That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things on earth and things under the earth." And this is the exact scripture that was quoted in the Old Testament. Paul is saying, for Jehovah God is the same for Jesus. Now, if you deny Christ, you deny the Father. Father approved the ministry of Jesus, and he was well pleased of his Son. Matthew chapter 3:17, during the baptism, "And a voice from heaven said, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" Now, that's why there are so many paths to, there are people who say there are so many paths to God, but the Bible says there's only one way to God. It is through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "I am the door. to life. There's no other way. If we had to go out, if there's a fire here in the house, and there's only one door to escape that fire, that we can be saved, that is only that one door. There's no other way we can go through. It's the same way when it comes to eternal life. Jesus said, I am the door. He is the door to eternal life. The door to heaven is through Christ Jesus. All the other ways are substitutions of Satan. They are antichrist to deceive people. And the author, of course, of all the other paths, all the other roads is Satan. So the rest of the religions, all the other religions, they are of antichrist, because they have blinded the minds of the unbelievers. 2 Corinthians 4:4. If our gospel is hidden, it is hidden because Satan has blinded the minds of the unbelievers. You know, I remember when I was a Buddhist, man, I thought, I got to go, I got to worship it, you know, these idols, these silly idols. And I thought, you know, I can, you know, when I die, at least I can gain something, some kind of a good works. And the great God is not through the idols, it's not through Pope, it's not through Mary, it's not through the saints, because it's only way that you can go to God, and that is through Christ Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through Jesus Christ, because He is the only mediator. Only mediator. There's only one mediator. Jesus is the only mediator. 1 Timothy chapter 2, 5. There's only one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ. Now, if you deny the Son, you deny the Father, because Son is God also. Son is also God. He is called the Son of God because He is the second person of the Trinity. Therefore, He Himself is God. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11 verse 27, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. No man will know the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomever the Son will reveal him. Only the Father can reveal that to us. Otherwise, we don't know the Father except for the Son, and we don't know the Son except for the Father. So you deny Christ, you deny the Father. You deny the Father, you deny Christ. It runs both ways. Isaiah chapter 9:6 says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Jeremiah chapter 23 verse 6 says, in his days, that is, in the future days that is going to come, it happened where we are concerned, in his days shall Judah be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely, and his name whereby he shall be called Jehovah our Righteousness. Matthew 26 says, this is a good one. Matthew 26. I forgot what scripture. Let me see here. Matthew 27. Here Jesus before Pilate. And are you the King of the Jews? And he says, it is as you say. And also, if you see in Matthew chapter 26 verse 62, this is in the high priest rose and said to him, do you answer nothing? What is these men testify against you? But Jesus kept silent. Matthew 26 verse 62. Then 63, but Jesus kept silent, and the high priest answered and said to him, I put you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. What did Jesus say? Jesus said to him, it is as you said. And he says, it is as you said. Then he says, and not only that, it is as you said. See, then he goes on to say, nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting in the right hand of the power, coming on the clouds of heaven. Then, of course, high priest, he tore his clothes and said, he has spoken blasphemy, because only Christ is saying he is God. That is blasphemy if you are telling a lie like that. But Christ told the truth. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Colossians 2:9 says, for in him dwelt all the fullness of God. Titus 2:13, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. So what is the conclusion? The conclusion is the Antichrist are people who deny Christ. In his person, Christ also denying his works, his ministry, who opposes his ministry. It's very easy to say, you know, a lot of Hindus, they have all these millions of gods, and also in between all those gods, they have a statue of Jesus too. In case if we miss, we have Jesus, you know. That's not the way Bible goes. So, Jesus said, Matthew 10:33, but whosoever shall deny me before men, him will also I will deny before the Father. There you go. So that's the conclusion. Jesus said, if you are going to deny me before men, I'm going to deny you before the Father who is in heaven. There's a difference between denying and acknowledgement. On the other hand, John said, whoever who acknowledges Christ has the Father. Acknowledgement means not only trusting in Christ, is declaring him as Christ. When Jesus asked Peter, whom do you think I am? What did Peter say? You are the Son of the living God. What did Jesus say to Peter? Peter, man, you really studied everything you got. Man, you got a lot of theology in your head. You got to know because you studied very good, right? Did Jesus say that? Or did Jesus say, Peter, you are a smart man? What did he say? Peter, he is my Father who is in heaven, who has revealed this to you, not in you. So just like, you know, the only way that it has been revealed to us is through the Father. Otherwise, we don't understand. It is the Father who reveals Christ to us. It is Christ who reveals the Father to us. It's both ways, isn't it? And if you deny the Son, you deny the Father. If you deny the Father, you deny the Son. It's both ways. And Jesus said, if you deny me before men, I'm going to deny you before my Father. And here, as Christians, we need to understand this. We cannot go and kind of compromise, you know, witness to people and say, well, you know, or talk to people. We come across all kinds of people, and when they say, well, I'm a Roman Catholic anyway, or you're a Christian anyway, we believe the same thing, right? You hear that all the time. And you can go to a Muslim or Buddhist, Muslim will say, well, we have the same God anyway. Buddhists will say, anyway, you know, you're going to church, I'm going to my temple, and we all go to heaven anyway. So here, if you believe that, there are so many Christians, they believe that, isn't it? A lot of Christians, they believe that. Why? Because they don't get into the scriptures and study. But if you really read the scriptures and study what the scriptures say, what? You will see a different story. Now, the scripture, it should be above our reasoning. Right? It should be above our reasoning. Jesus said the scriptures cannot be broken. Our thinking is broken. Our arguments can be broken. Because they are our arguments, our thinking, everything what we think, they are not infallible. I mean, we are not perfect people, so unperfect people will make mistakes. We are not perfect people, so our thinking is not perfect. But the scripture, God is perfect. And the word of God, when God speaks, it's perfect. Just like how we saw in the video last time, how God created the heavens and the earth. I mean, He created out of nothing. And that's a miracle. Who can create anything out of nothing? I mean, nothing. God didn't have any elements to go and find and to create. He created absolutely out of nothing. And God spoke and it happened. In the same way, that's why so many people are lost, because they don't even know that they are of Antichrist. Just imagine the people who are going, they think in the book of Proverbs that says, right, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end is what? It's death. So they think they are right because they are so religious people. Didn't Jesus say, as a scripture in the New Testament, didn't Jesus say that to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the prostitutes and the murderers and the thieves are going to heaven before you? Because these people, they realize they are sinners. They realize that they have sinned against God. That, like the tax collector. But the religious people, I'll tell you, they're the most hardest to witness. And I know, we know when we go and knock on doors, they will tell you, the first thing they'll tell you is, I have my religion. I have my church. I don't want to hear you because I have my religion. It's very hard to witness to them. That's why we need prayer, because only God can reveal that to them. Only the Father can reveal that. But we need to go and tell them the truth. Let's pray.